system to the W5BSA repeater. CL-123.
Good evening, folks. QSD, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. And this is the first net after the symposium. Hope everybody had a good weekend there over in Phoenix, Arizona. This is net number 1634, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, October the 21st, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, October the 22nd, 2025, at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston. Also the 443.325 repeater in Katy. And they both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's also the 146.7 repeater downtown, and it's linked with its network repeaters. And then when they're working, there's the AMSAT DMR Talk Group, 98006, YSF Fusion, 11689. The All-Star node is 572580. And there's Echolink, and that's at star, AMSAT star. And I will not take any check-ins. Okay, very good. We got Herbert, KD5TQJ. Good evening, Herbert. You're sounding pretty good out there, and you're out there in West Houston, so we're glad to have you aboard. Anybody else out there? Okay, well, we'll come back about halfway through the net here and try to take a standby then and see if we pick up Carl. And otherwise, let's see, we do have a little bit of information here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. Of course, they have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. here local at a restaurant, and then at 8 p.m. Central Time on Zoom on the Internet. They take care of business, and anybody can participate in that, and that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom, and we appreciate Walter making that available. Okay, we've been tracking BLT W5BSA, and from the Boy Scouts of America, the Jamboree on the Air launch from last weekend, and so they got a successful exit there off the East Coast. And then it's, I think it's kind of gotten pulled down by the, maybe some effects from that tropical storm slash soon to be a hurricane out there in the Atlantic. Kind of took a dive to the south. But it's supposed to kind of go back up again and keep headed east. So we're going to keep our eye on that and hope that happens. And then once again, we'll start getting some packets and some positions when it gets over closer to Europe. Okay, we wish that balloon a long life there, and we'll be keeping our eyes on that one. So last year's Boy Scout balloon actually lasted quite a while, like almost, I think, a couple of months. All right, let's switch over here to the ANS Bulletins, and this is from Mark Johns, K0JM, and this is ANS Bulletin 292. And the AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. All right, the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as that volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org, or you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. And to join the list, you go over to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, there was some action there, and the AMSAT Board of Directors elected its officers, and at its annual meeting there in Phoenix, Arizona, the AMSAT Board of Directors elected Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, as president. So congratulations to Drew. Glassbrenner succeeds Robert Bankston, KE4AL, who had served as AMSAT's president since 2020, and earlier this year announced his intention to step down. Glassbrenner had previously served as AMSAT's vice president of operations since 2006, and as a director for many years. As an enthusiastic operator, Glassbrenner earned Satellite DXCC and worked all states, AMSAT Gridmaster Award, so all 488 grids in the lower 48 states via satellite, quite an achievement, and has over 2,100 VUCC satellite grids. Drew is also a proud father of two young hams, KO4UYE and KQ4SJM. Additionally, Glassbrenner serves as a member of the International Amateur Radio Union's, the IARU's Satellite Frequency Coordination Panel, and advises university CubeSat teams on frequency and licensing issues. Board of Directors also elected for next year Executive Vice President Paul Stotzer, N8HM, Vice President of Operations Mark Hammond, N8MH. Well, that's interesting. Okay, then we've got the Vice President of Engineering, Jerry Buxton, N0JY, Treasurer, Steve Belter, N9IP, and then the Secretary is Doug Tabor, N6UA. Additionally, the President appointed Vice President of Educational Relations, Alan Johnson, KU2Y, and Vice President of Development, Frank Kanoskis, N1UW. Okay, we want to say thanks to the AMSAT Board of Directors and AMSAT President Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. I know one of the decisions they made there at the Board of Directors meeting there in Phoenix, Arizona at the symposium was that students will now get free membership in AMSAT. So if you're a student, kindergarten through, I think it was like junior in college, like up through age like, I'll have to look again, but you can get pretty old there and still be in school, and those memberships are going to be free now. So want to congratulate the Board of Directors for making that decision and maybe pulling some younger and newer people there on board.
CL-123.
Okay, the AMSAT Remove Before Flight keypads are available, and they are the real thing. They're lovely embroidered red, bright red with white lettering. Remove Before Flight on one side, and they have the AMSAT logo name on the other side. So, very nice to have around. Put your keys and stuff on there. And your $20 donation doesn't only get you a Remove Before Flight key tag. It goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. And it also does include your first class postage for people in the United States. Sorry, it's for U.S. addresses only. If you've just decided that you know what you can put that key tag on, you can order it today over at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. And I can tell you they look real good hanging off of a CubeSat or a CubeSat sim. A little update here. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Approximately 35 AMSAT members gathered at the Holiday Inn in Phoenix Airport North on Friday and Saturday, October 17th and 18th, for the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting. They were joined by more than 50 guests at any one time, tuning into the live stream online. Presentations from the AMSAT engineering teams updated participants on propulsion systems that may be used in the upcoming Gulf, Greater Orbit, Larger Footprint series of satellites, mechanical design of the Fox Plus series of satellites, command and control, power management, and telemetry systems under development. Presentations from the AMSAT Educational Relations Team focused on the CubeSat SIM and its use in the classroom at various grade levels. Additional presentations were made by AMSAT's partner organization, ARIS, or the amateur radio on the International Space Station, tracking software authors, and the AMSAT Youth Initiative. Symposium sounded like it was an overwhelming success, and it culminated with the banquet on Saturday evening with the keynote delivered by Liam Cheney, PMP. Liam is an aerospace consultant and founder of Footstep Aerospace by AG3 LLC. And ANS thanks AMSAT for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Okay, we're right here at the bottom of 15 minutes into the net. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick standby and take a look and see who we've got checking in here, especially via some of our alternate means. Pulled up here, and we did hear from Kai in 6ZZO from McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in via landline, so we appreciate him calling and checking in. And let's see, we got Charlie, K5ENG, and he's over there in West Houston, so gotta ring his bell, make sure things are going good over there. We heard from Dale, WB0AKO, up in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and appreciate that. So, I think things were running okay. I had to kind of double check on that for last week, but sounds like he was there at the symposium, so I hope they had a good time. Okay, thanks to Vern, W0RCR, out there in Wentzville, Missouri. You get to hear our net again if you listen on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting this on the top band there on the weekends. And especially this time of the year, is the nights turn into the long ones and the days grow short, well, that's when 1860 comes roaring to life. So listen for us on the weekend there, and listen for Vern's transmission from Wentzville, Missouri. Okay, let's see here. From Internet Relay Chat System, we have Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and Rachie's probably there too, so good evening to them. We have Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, Bob, K8WX, and W8QHB. Okay, then let's see, from Echolink, we've got Inoff, N6UTC, he's down there in Long Beach, California, so good evening to Inoff. We have Andrew, KC5LWY, and he's down there in Galveston, so he could be dealing with a little bit of that fog going on this evening, so hope that doesn't mess up their plans too bad there for the ferry.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, we want to say hello to Mitch and check him in. That's 80HJ. And he's up there in Jackson, Minnesota. And thanks to Mitch, there's a Wednesday night AmSatNet that everybody can listen in on or participate on, and that's on DMR, it's on the digital side, and that's on the AmSat Talk Group 98006, YSF Fusion, it's 11689, and then it could be some of those other means are connected as well, so we sure do appreciate Mitch doing that AmSatNet on Wednesday night, so if anybody's doing any rows or making any grid squares available, you can always check in on Wednesday night on BMR and let those guys know. Okay, we will say hello to Damien, AG9P. He's been listening for many years. He's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. Hope he's doing good this evening. And Bruce, back from the symposium, KK5VO, up there in Roman Forest. And then there's Steve, K5YFC, So good evening to Steve as well, and we got you checked in. Ah, okay. Very good, Andrew. Andrew says he's at home this evening, so not having to battle the fog, and that's a good thing. I just heard they said that on the news, so that there was a likelihood of it being generated this evening down there. So that's a good thing. Okay, this is Marty, WZ5Y and the Houston Amtrak Net.
CL-123.
Okay, we'll remind everybody, you can call and make a quick phone check-in. The net is 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message to West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And that email, it's wv5y@comcast.net. Which, actually, Bruce, I noticed on the website there, I was looking on there yesterday or the day before, and I noticed that's still have my old email address on there. So I'll have to send you a note and make sure we get that updated, since the AMSAT.org addresses went away for us normal people. Non-privileged in AMSAT, I should say. Okay, this is Marty, WD5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. And let's see here. The 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins are here and are celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. You can help support the Golf and Fox Plus projects. And you can join the AMSAT President's Club today by going over to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, AMSAT releases Draft Educator's Guide to Using Satellites in the Classroom. The 2025 AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. AMSAT Vice President of Educational Relations, Alan Johnston, KU2Y, announced the availability of a draft version of Educator's Guide to Using Satellites in the Classroom, a new guide covering AMSAT's CubeSat Sim and other resources available for utilizing satellites in classroom education. Johnston emphasizes that this guide is a draft document and will be continuously revised with better formatting and more content. And the draft guide is available at cubesatsim.org/educatorsguide. And we want to thank Alan Johnston, KU2Y, AMSAT Vice President of Educational Relations, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. And here we go. Here's the official announcement, as we alluded to earlier there, as we were reminded by Bruce, that AMSAT student memberships are now offered at no cost. At its annual meeting there in Phoenix, the AMSAT Board of Directors unanimously voted to offer student memberships at no cost. Free student memberships are offered for individuals under the age of 25 enrolled in an educational program from primary school through a master's degree. The benefits of an AMSAT student membership include a one-year digital subscription to the AMSAT journal and discounted prices on certain items in the AMSAT store, like those M-squared antennas. Interested students may sign up for their no-cost membership at launch.amsat.org/membership. And we'll thank the AMSAT Board of Directors for that information. And Bruce, too, being also one of them. Okay, I guess now would be a good time to remind everybody that as well as being on the Board of Directors for AMSAT and the awards guy for AMSAT, Bruce is also our web page master here for the Houston AMSATnet. So we want to thank Bruce for making the URLs available. So you can, if you want to follow along with any of the URLs we cover, you can just click on the links that Bruce has made available over there at AMSATnet.com. Okay, if you haven't gotten your fill over there, you can go check out all the AMSAT stuff, including the frequencies that the satellites operate on and the status of the satellites, as which ones are operational and not operational as of the current time. And there's also the store, and then eventually there'll be some information about next year's symposium, so we'll be looking forward to that too. Ah, the big question, or one of the big questions anyway, is low Earth orbit getting too crowded? Hundreds of satellites may soon be flying in orbital regions that are already too packed to allow safe and long-term operations, a new study suggests. The study found that while in 2019 only 0.2% of satellites in Earth orbit were forced to perform more than 10 collision avoidance maneuvers per month, that percentage had risen sevenfold by early 2025 to 1.4%. That number might still seem low, but it means that some 340 satellites spend a lot of time dodging debris and other spacecraft. Moreover, the satellite population is set to keep growing. While in 2019, about 13,700 objects, including space junk, zoomed around the planet in low Earth orbit, or LEO, at altitudes below 1,200 miles, or 2,000 kilometers, that number has since risen to 24,185 objects in 2025, an increase of 76%, according to the study. By the end of this decade, some 70,000 satellites may reside in low Earth orbit, according to industry group predictions, representing a more than five-fold increase compared to the 2019 situation. study conducted by William E. Parker, Maya Harris, Giovanni Lavezzi, and Richard Linares of the Department of Aeronautics and Department of Aeronautics and Astronautics, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, was published September 26th in the journal Acta Astronautica. The research was sponsored by the Department of the Air Force Artificial Intelligence Accelerator. The authors selected 10 collision avoidance maneuvers per month as a threshold at which satellite operation may become too complicated to be beneficial. Different operators choose a different threshold to perform collision avoidance maneuvers. NASA spacecraft mostly maneuver when the collision risk is greater than 1 in 10,000. SpaceX, the world's biggest satellite operator with its Starlink broadband mega constellation, is more cautious, using its autonomous space dodging system to avoid an object posing a risk greater than 1 in 3.3 million.
CL-123.
Frequent maneuvers present a disruption to operations that some satellite handlers are better able to absorb than others. Okay, that comes from space.com, and you can read the full article at www.space.com/space-exploration/satellites/is-low-earth-orbit-getting-2-overcrowded-new-study-rings-and-alarm-bell. And you can see the complete academic paper over at www.sciencedirect.com/science/article/PII/S0094575652500633-DGCID=author. And of course, Bruce has those links over there at amsatnet.com for you. We appreciate that. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. And we're just a couple minutes here late, past the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a standby and see if we have any more check-ins. So any check-ins to the Houston AmSatNet, come now. A growing weak spot in the Earth's magnetic field. Using 11 years of magnetic field measurements from the European Space Agency's Swarm satellite constellation, scientists have discovered that the weak region in Earth's magnetic field over the South Atlantic, known as the South Atlantic Anomaly, has expanded by an area nearly half the size of continental Europe since 2014. Earth's magnetic field is vital to life on our planet. It is a complex and dynamic force that protects us from cosmic radiation and charged particles from the sun. It is largely generated by a global ocean of molten, swirling liquid iron that makes up the outer core around 3,000 kilometers beneath our feet. Acting like a spinning conductor in a bicycle dynamo, it creates electrical currents, which in turn generate our continuously changing electromagnetic field, but in reality, the processes that generate the field are far more complex. Swarm, an Earth Explorer mission developed under ESA's Earth Observation Future EO program, comprises a constellation of three identical satellites that precisely measure the magnetic signals that stem from Earth's core, mantle, crust, and oceans, as well as from the ionosphere and the magnetosphere. Thanks to this exceptional mission, scientists are gaining more insight into the different sources of magnetism to help understand how and why the magnetic field is weakening in some places and strengthening in others. The weak field South Atlantic Anomaly was first identified southeast of South America back in the 19th century. Today, the South Atlantic Anomaly is of particular interest for space safety as satellites passing over the region are faced with higher doses of incoming radiation. This can lead to malfunctions or damage to critical hardware and even blackouts.
W5BSA repeater.
Published this month in Physics of the Earth and Planetary Interiors, the latest results from the Swarm mission revealed that while the South Atlantic Anomaly expanded steadily between 2014 and 2025, the region of the South Ocean southwest of Africa has experienced an even faster weakening of Earth's magnetic field since 2020. South Atlantic Anomaly is not just a single block, says lead author Chris Finlay, professor of geomagnetism at the Technical University of Denmark. It's changing differently towards Africa than it is near South America. There's something special happening in this region that is causing the field to weaken in a more intense way. This behavior is linked to strange patterns in the magnetic field at the boundary between Earth's liquid outer core and its rocky mantle, known as reverse flux patches. Professor Findlay explains, normally we'd expect to see magnetic field lines coming out of the core in the southern hemisphere. But beneath the South Atlantic Anomaly, we see unexpected areas where the magnetic field, instead of coming out of the core, goes back into the core. Thanks to the Swarm data, we can see one of these areas moving westward over Africa, which contributes to the weakening of the South Atlantic Anomaly in this region. This is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. Swarm's record-breaking 11 years. The latest model of Earth's core-generated magnetic field marks a new milestone for ESA's Swarm satellites, which have now provided the longest continuous record of magnetic field measurements from space. Satellites were launched on the 22nd of November, 2013, as the fourth Earth Explorer mission, pioneering satellites that form a key component of ESA's forward-looking Future EO program. Conceived as demonstrators of innovative Earth observation technologies, these missions have long outlived their original design lifetime, becoming integral to long-term records, providing data for critical operational services, and having paved the way for future generations of satellites. Swarm data underpinned the global magnetic models used for navigation, monitor space weather hazards, and allow unprecedented insights into our Earth system from its core through to the outer reaches of Earth's atmosphere. The latest swarm results highlight the dynamic nature of Earth's magnetism. For example, in the southern hemisphere, there is one point where the magnetic field is particularly strong, and in the northern hemisphere, there are two, one around Canada and the other around Siberia. When you're trying to understand Earth's magnetic field, it's important to remember that it's not just a simple dipole like a bar magnet. It's only by having satellites like Swarm that we can fully map the structure and see it changing, said Professor Finlay. However, since Swarm has been in orbit, the magnetic field over Siberia has strengthened while it has weakened over Canada. The Canadian strong field region has shrunk by 0.65% of Earth's surface area, which is almost the size of India, while the Siberian region has grown by 0.42% of Earth's surface area, which is comparable to the size of Greenland.
PL-123.
This shift, which is caused by complex processes going on in Earth's turbulent core, is associated with the northern magnetic pole moving towards Siberia in recent years. The shift is important for navigation, which is affected by the dance between these two areas of strong magnetic fields. ESA's Swarm Mission Manager, Andrew Strome, said, "It's really wonderful to see the big picture of our dynamic Earth thanks to Swarm's extended time series. The satellites are all healthy and providing excellent data, so we can hopefully extend that record beyond 2030 when the solar minimum will allow more unprecedented insights into our planet." And ANS thanks the European Space Agency and the ESA for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, we got Lois from Clay up there on Internet Relay Chat, and looks like also there from Ken, so hello again to both of those guys. And this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPs in the amateur community, are to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So these are the important files that you want to weekly download so that you can keep your satellite tracking program showing the satellites in the correct locations. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day and are available on the AmSat website, amsat.org. So we appreciate that, especially since Celestrak has shut down theirs. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more info over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And this week, there are no additions or deletions to the AmSat TLE distribution, but we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AmSat Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Hey, I bet you Joe was there at the symposium, and we missed seeing him there. So I'll say hello there to Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P. Okay, amateurs and others around the world may listen on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the NASA space station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 megahertz worldwide. And this is ARIS, the amateur radio on the International Space Station. This is what they do. They have contacts between students and astronauts. And let's see, we've got a completed contact here. The first Radford Simmel Scout Group in Radford Simmel, United Kingdom, had a contact direct via GB4RSS with ISS call sign NA1SS with crew member Jonathan Johnny Kim, KJ5HKP, and the nearest mentor was M0XTD. Okay, this contact was completely successful. It was on Saturday, 10/18/2025, at 09:51:59 UTC. And so congratulations to those folks. And then we've got the Colegio de Cultura Popular of Colombia, Telebridge via AB1OC, and the ISS call sign NA1SS, and the crew member scheduled is Zena Cardman, KJ5CMN. The ARIS mentor is VE6JBJ, and the contact is Thursday, 10/23/2025 at 13:46:10 UTC, and they should have a 63 degree elevation. Okay, also coming up, we've got the 18th Primary School of Larissa, Greece, Telebridge via K6DUE. Going to be contacting NA1SS, crew member Mike Fink, KE5AIT, and the ARIS mentor is IK0WGF. Contact is Friday, 10/24/2025 at 08:04:47 UTC with a 33 degree elevation. Okay, we've got one more contact with those folks over in Indiana. We've got the Terry Hott Children's Museum in Terre Haute, Indiana, direct. They're going to have a contact via W9UUU. Scheduled ISS call sign is NA1SS, and they'll be speaking with Jonathan Johnny Kim, KJ5HKP. The ARIS mentor is KD8COJ, and the contact is Saturday, 10/25/2025 at 13:45 UTC. With a 52 degree elevation. Okay, you can watch for a live stream for them over there on YouTube.com or over on live.aris.org. Many times, a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch that requires a change of the URL. But those folks over at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. And as always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol there for the ISS. All right. right, the crossband repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67. And then you listen on the downlink, and that's on 437.800 megahertz down. And if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. And the packet operations on 145.825 megahertz up and down is active. Okay, a further update is Ham TV on the ISS is configured. Its default mode is for scheduled digital amateur television operations on 2395 megahertz, or just below 2.4 gigahertz. Note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital predictions or start listening about 10 minutes before the listed times. And the latest info on the operation mode for the ISS can be found over at www.aeris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aeris.org/contact-v-iss.html.
PL-123.
Okay, we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the Aeris Operation team mentors, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet, and if you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition, you can get an AmSat car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And the URL on that one is www.zazzle.com/store/AmSat_year. And when you buy something, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. We're getting towards the end of the year here, and as far as the AmSat ambassador activities, now that the symposium is over, there are no more events currently scheduled. But if you're interested in becoming an AmSat ambassador, well, you can provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AmFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So, for more information, go to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And, of course, we'll thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AmSat Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, let's see, looks like we're down to satellite shorts from all over. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. And let's see, we want to say hello to Hannah over there on Internet Relay Chat System. SpaceX closed a chapter in its Starship saga on October the 13th. It launched what appeared to be a nearly flawless suborbital mission with its Version 2 Starship Super Heavy rocket, the final flight for this iteration of the launch vehicle.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
This was the final Starship launch of the year, and the last mission that will fly from Pad A in its current configuration. SpaceX now turns its attention to completing and testing version 3 of Starship Super Heavy, which will begin launch from Pad B. It's this iteration of the rocket that SpaceX intends to use for launching payloads to orbit and eventually flying missions to the Moon and to Mars. And ANS thanks Spaceflight Now for that information. And you can find that full article, you can find the link at AmSatNet.com, but you can also go over to spaceflightnow.com/2025/10/14/SpaceX-launches-final-version-2-Starship-Super-Heavy-Rocket. Approximately 550 employees of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or the JPL, will be laid off, according to an announcement made on the agency's website on October the 13th. The news comes in the midst of an ongoing U.S. government shutdown and the looming threat of the single largest funding reduction in NASA's 66-year history. Due to those potential cuts, NASA has been forced to reshape many of its science and space exploration efforts. Scientists at NASA's JPL oversee a fleet of flagship science missions designed to unravel the mysteries of our solar system. They include the Psyche asteroid probe, the Europa Clipper, the dark matter hunting Euclid Space Telescope, the Perseverance Mars Rover, and of course, the Deep Space Network, the international array of antennas used to communicate with humanity's space-faring robotic explorers. Okay, that comes from space.com, and you can read that full article over at space.com/space-exploration/NASA-lays-off-550-employees-at-jet-propulsion-laboratory-in-sweeping-realignment-of-workforce. Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, which issues amateur radio service licenses, issued a public notice on Tuesday, September the 30th, indicating that it would suspend most operations following a shutdown. ARRL Volunteer Examiner Coordinator, or ARRL VEC Manager Maria Soma, 81FM, said, "The FCC systems appeared to go offline around 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday and are redirecting to the public notice. This means the FCC will not be processing any amateur radio license applications during the shutdown, which includes individual, club, and exam sessions, new and upgrade applications." However, Soma urged that volunteer examiners continue to promptly forward session results from their exams to the ARRL VEC. ARRL VEC will promptly resume submitting applications to the FCC for processing. And ANS thanks the ARRL for that information. A constellation of classified defense satellites built by SpaceX is emitting a mysterious signal that may violate international standards. Satellites associated with the Starshield satellite network appear to be transmitting to the Earth on frequencies normally used for sending commands from Earth to satellites in space. The use of those frequencies to downlink data runs counter to standards set by the International Telecommunications Union. Starshield's unusual transmissions have the potential to interfere with other scientific and commercial satellites, warns Scott Tilley, VA7LF, an amateur satellite tracker in Canada who first spotted the signals. Okay, and we want to thank the National Public Radio for that information, and you can read that full article at npr.org/2025/10/1-57-NX-S1-557-5254/SpaceX-Starshield-Starlink-Signal. Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org, and in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership. For free! Yay! And post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be for the student rate, which is free until they're 25 years old. So we have to change the bottom of this there. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 73s, and remember, don't keep amateur radio in space, and that's from this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM, and that's mjohns@amsat.org.
DL-123.
Okay, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT Net, so stay safe out there, keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts, and we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, MD5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, fresh back from the AMSAT Symposium, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 73s for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.